Thank you, Johanna, for reading our scripture passage this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Just where Ohio's northeastern state line meets the Pennsylvania western limit sits a picturesque dairy farm. Can you picture it, Mom? Yeah. Big red barns surround a large farmhouse with a wraparound porch. Mighty oak trees proudly stand in front, providing relief from the glaring sun. Twice a year, my family goes up for a reunion at my great aunt's and uncle's farm to have a cookout, pink lemonade, and a volleyball game that sometimes can get more competitive than it needs to get. Now, every family has one, and some families have two, and that is a relative, for whatever reason, is not interested in small talk. They have little or zero interest in conversing or mingling with others. I hate to use the word curmudgeon, but that word seems to fit particularly well with this individual, who was always at these farm reunions. Their response to basic questions rarely exceeded three words in length, and after years, I was convinced they didn't even know my name. One year, the summer heat and humidity attracted strong winds and torrential rain, and under the porch, we sat and ate and talked, which I'm sure this one relative was not too thrilled about. And then, as quick as the storm came in, the storm rolled out. The clouds parted and the sun came shining through. And that's when this relative, who was convinced didn't even know me, said, "Keith, will you look at that?" Surprised and excited to share a moment, I saw it floating over the barns, the newly vibrant green grass, a beautiful rainbow. I said, "I see it. Look at that rainbow." And they said, "No, that's not a rainbow." And pointing above it, they said, "That's a double rainbow." Have you ever seen a double rainbow before? A plain, regular rainbow may cause us to point, but a double rainbow stops us in our tracks, no matter where we are or who we are with. And it can be a transformational experience. After all, did you hear? My relative knows my name and that I exist. But I bet we could go around this room and share stories of solar eclipses, comets, canyons that are grand, erupting geysers, experiences that left us awestruck, humbled, and present to the wonders of creation and this life. A burning bush throwing sparks and heat in the wilderness, yet not a leaf was burnt or withered, nor was the bark blackened. Moses says, I must turn aside and look at this great sight. As the reader, we are to assume Moses does not yet realize who is behind this spectacle. However, we know God is behind the burning bush, but for Moses, up until this point, it has just been another regular day in the fields, watching his father-in-law's sheep. While his birth story is a miraculous story, a mother desperate for her son to survive Pharaoh's death-dealing policies floats him down the river, only to be fished out by none other than Pharaoh's own daughter, who then saves his life. He's older, and life is more complicated and has been growing complicated since that day. Even though he is Hebrew, He grew up in an upper-class Egyptian household. He struggles with identity, not Hebrew enough for his people and not Egyptian enough for the Egyptians. Watching one of his Hebrew brothers being beaten, Moses steps in, murdering the Egyptian taskmaster and burying him in the sand. Days later, Moses tries to reconcile two Hebrews who are fighting, but one of them barks back at him for being a killer. Ashamed and afraid, Moses flees to the wilderness. He finds a wife and is a part of a family, but his adult life is tethered to this lowly and lonely work of shepherding sheep, sheep that he did not even own and would most likely never own. So we know God is up to something, but we must understand Moses' life has gotten away from him. He is wandering and wondering what he is doing with this life he was given, and if his decisions had squandered that gift away. A grown man with his father-in-law's sheep out in what Scripture says is a place beyond the wilderness. And then those sparks catch his eye. He still may not realize it yet, but his life's journey is about to pivot. Like a door pivots closed to open or a sprinter ready to sprint off the blocks, it was time for a new change and a new direction. And the fact that Moses looks and chooses not to turn away from the flames reveals that he is open and being drawn into this greater mystery that is leading him. Moses does not initiate anything, but what happens next is what Friar Richard Rohr calls the divine ambush. Rohr says the divine ambush comes at a moment of conversion, enlightenment, or transformation, when the person being ambushed is completely caught off guard. It comes only when they have let go of the illusion of control. I want to play that back, not to give up control, but that there is an illusion that they are in control, that they give up in that moment. This is when the ambush can happen. This has nothing to do with the individual, but everything to do with God's grace. Perhaps you have experienced a divine ambush in your life, pivotal to your journey. It often happens when we are most vulnerable, our most desperate hour, when we're not quite sure which direction to turn. That seems to be the only time we experience that. Not because that's only when God chooses to reach out to us, but because sadly that's often when we are most willing to let go of that illusion of control to allow something deeper and more profound to move in our lives. And it's only when we let go of that illusion that God has a window, has an opportunity for an ambush, for a holy shift in our journey towards something more fulfilling, something that makes us more whole. And so God needs to get our attention. Throughout Scripture, there are storms, high winds, earthquakes, bright flashes, even stars hovering over manger scenes that biblical scholars call theophanies, or appearances of God. Those events of awe, even some fear, lead to this ambush of divine love, a holy nudge, an experience that redirects people not only back into God's arms, but to the purpose and ways of God. Searching for identity and meaning, running from mistakes he had made, it was time for Moses to pivot. At that ordinary place, on that ordinary day, that burning bush sparked a change. Everything, including the ground beneath his feet, was transformed. He is commanded to remove his sandals so that nothing can come between him and the presence of God. Not even the leather on the sole of his sandal. He is ambushed by God's love. Even though he has made mistakes. Even though by the day's standards he was no one special, was not a success, and certainly not leading a saintly life, this makes no difference to God, who surrounds him with loving presence, calling him by name. God then speaks, telling Moses that God has seen and heard and knows. God has seen the affliction. God has heard the cries. God knows the suffering of God's people in Egypt. From this experience of God reveals a love that cannot be contained to any one person, but a love that must expand outward beyond the individual, out into the community, to hear those who are crying out. For people of faith, it is this experience of God that leads us to care for the hungry and the hurting, to speak truth to power, to demand justice for the oppressed and the immigrant. The burning bush leads to sharing and channeling God's love for God's world. A couple months ago, I was visiting someone in an assisted living facility, and I got as far as the doors of the memory care unit, but did not have the passcode to go in. Fortunately, there was someone watching me aimlessly search for help, who was kind enough to punch in the code for me. She even offered to take me to the person that I was there to see. On our way to that room, we got to talking, and it turned out that she was a volunteer for hospice. She spends much of her time meeting people where they are on their life's journey. On occasion, she would sit with family members and listen to their stories and also to their struggles. And so I was curious. I asked, what led you to be a volunteer for hospice? And she shared of a time when she was still working, a time when she struggled to balance her full-time work with taking care of her dad, who was eventually put on hospice. When her dad had passed, and when she was fully retired from her work, she confessed that she was feeling a bit lost. Her job defined her most of her life. And one day, as she was driving through town, she saw Fair Hope Hospice, and something sparked a curiosity within her. She remembered how those on hospice gave her father attention and love on those really hard days, especially at the end. The next day, she filled out the paperwork. And here she is, 5 years later, helping this lost pastor, caring for those in need, and feeling closer to her dad, discovering a new purpose and direction for her life. We pivot many times in life, not just once. For people of faith, we know it is not a mere coincidence, but it is the presence of a loving God drawing closer to us, who is just waiting to surprise us, to get our attention in the wilderness, waiting to ambush us with love and give us a new part to play in life. And so I leave you with these questions. What part of you feels like it is wandering in the wilderness? Where do you sense in your life a time or a moment to pivot? And once you have thought about that, or generically what that could be, I invite you to surgically carve out time in your day, let's say 10 minutes, and risk an ambush of love. Or in Christian language, pray. Touch the holy ground. Hear your name being spoken. And God will offer you the words you need in that moment. And it may not be a time for a pivot, but it might be a time for you to look up and discover a double rainbow, God's presence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.